Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. For people who wait all year for the NCAA tournament, which kicks off this week, nothing beats the first 4 days when 64 teams are in action across the U.S. It's a basketball buffet for fans. For broadcasters, it's a balancing act and some really long hours. Once again, working the action for CBS will be Andrew Catalan, who's also called the NFL, college football, golf, the Olympics, and more. Catalan is also familiar to listeners in our area from his television stints in Burlington and Albany. Andrew Catalan, welcome to the Roundtable.
Ian, so great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
So give us a sense of what your preparation looks like as you get ready for the games.
Sure. So on Sunday, the selection show was on CBS at 5:30, and at about 7:45, I got a text message alerting me where I was going, which is Salt Lake City. And then it just starts really the madness for me after I get that text message, because it's eight teams that I have to learn and start getting my charts together. But also this year, with the blizzard approaching, I needed to try to find a flight to Salt Lake City for Monday. So it's been crazy ever since I got that text message, but there's really nothing like it, getting ready to announce four games on Thursday and then another two on Saturday in Salt Lake City.
As you're getting ready, what are you watching? What are you looking for? What kind of notes are you taking?
So I build my own charts, which basically is a big manila folder full of all the stats and names and pertinent information about each team. So that's eight different teams I have to learn in that front. And then I also try to watch a video of the teams. Now, fortunately for me, I've seen a couple of the teams in Salt Lake City already this year, which I can't stress how important that is for me to already have that base down. But there are teams like South Dakota State and North Dakota and even St. Mary's in Salt Lake City that I have not seen yet this year. So I'm basically starting from scratch on those teams. And basically the way I do it is try to get the basics down, and then as the week goes on, I'll fill in my manila folders with newspaper clippings that I read or other things that I pick up. And then on Wednesday, we'll meet with all eight coaches as they practice. So that gives you another little added layer of information that you can bring to the table come game day on Thursday.
How much of the research work you do never makes it on air?
I would say that for basketball, about 30% of the stuff I have down makes it on air, and 70% does not.
Wow.
Kind of just one of those situations where if it's a blowout or if something weird happens, that you have that little note that, you know, this person also is an aeronautical engineering major. And sometimes that stuff gets in, sometimes it doesn't. But you always have to be prepared in the case if it is a blowout, that you have things that you can talk about. In the NCAA tournament, I find that I use less than during a regular season game, just because, you know, the timing coming back from commercial is pretty specific. Usually it's right as the play is starting, and there's a little bit less time to tell stories. Not that we don't, but I just find that in the tournament, it's really more of just the basics for my prep and then trying to find a few extra stories to bring in there.
In the olden days, the tournament was basically a one-channel television program. CBS would, you know, go around from game to game, maybe stick with an interesting one, then change to a different game. But now all the games are over-the-air broadcast as well as on the web. Knowing that anyone around the country could be watching any of the games you're doing rather than just the local markets, has that changed what you do at all?
Yeah, in a way it does, Ian. I mean, I think that you have to know, the biggest fear as an announcer that I have is parachuting into a city or into a game. And, you know, I'm not going to know necessarily as much as the South Dakota fan that watched every single game this year. So for me, the challenge is to try to get caught up to speed as much as possible so that when that fan is watching the game at home, you know, I know that I can, you know, they know that I put my homework in and I'm not just showing up and just calling a game. So that's always the challenge for me, to try to get as close to that knowledge that the fan has, which is nearly impossible to do, but I don't want the fan to ever think, well, what is this guy talking about? So with what you mentioned with your question, you know, I think in the olden days, and I wasn't a part of the olden days, but in the olden days, you know, sometimes you'd only call like a a half of a game, and then they change to another game if it was a blowout. In this situation, you're calling every single second of a game, four games right in a row as well. So, you know, I think that you really have to be maybe a little bit more prepared in knowing that you're going to have an audience that's watching, without a doubt, 100% of your game.
Let's talk about the first day of the tournament. Now, I've gone as a fan, and by the fourth game, my eyes are crossing and the sound of sneakers is starting to really wear down my nerves. How do you stay sharp on your fourth game in a row?
Yeah, that's certainly the biggest challenge of that day, is to really pace yourself. It's kind of what I look at it, because I think in that first game, it's natural to be full of adrenaline, maybe full of caffeine, and really ready to go. And I think the first couple of years, I learned that you got to try to pace it. You can't, you know, always be on the edge of your seat in the first half of the first game, knowing that you have 3.5 more games to go after that. So that's a challenge. I think it's eating right. It's getting a good night's sleep the night before. It's drinking lots of fluids. I do then go to caffeine later in the day. You know, I will say this, the atmosphere, as you know, having covered it, having been there, is incredible. And a lot of times, just the energy in the building will carry you through those four games. I mean, there's no place that I'd rather be than calling those games. And I think that, believe it or not, it goes pretty quick. Even though you're calling four games in a row, there's a lot of times at the end of the last game where I'm like, wow, we're already done.
We're talking with Andrew Catalan from CBS Sports, who will be working the NCAA tournament this week. Let's talk about one of the storylines in Salt Lake City. You get to be the broadcaster on the first ever Northwestern NCAA tournament game. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up for that, Ian. I wasn't sure how that was going to play out, but in following them the last couple weeks and seeing their game on CBS, which was just incredible. I mean, Jim Nance said that it was one of the top five atmospheres that he's ever broadcast. And this is a guy who, as we know, has called Super Bowls and Masters and tons of big events. And he said that the regular season game on CBS in early March at Northwestern was one of the top five, which, you know, was absolutely stunning to me. So obviously they have a rich history in terms of their alums, in terms of their school. I know there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that game because it is historic. So we're gonna give it the treatment it deserves. I can't wait to talk to Chris Collins, the coach, and just kind of see how juiced up that building's gonna be. Because I know personally, a lot of Northwestern fans have said, you know, whenever that day comes, I'm gonna be there. So I expect a lot of Northwestern fans in the crowd, and I know that a lot of people around the country are gonna be tuning in to see just how they do.
Let's talk about your alma mater. Were you surprised to see Syracuse not make the field?
You know, not terribly surprised, Ian. You know, they had some bad losses. St. John's by 33 at home, the UConn loss, the Georgetown loss. I know they had those nice wins, but they only went two times away from the Carrier Dome all year. And I think when the committee looked at that, that was something they probably could not get past. So they had their chances. They had some great wins. I mean, they really had a fun season when you look at some of their wins of Clemson, and the Duke game obviously comes to mind. But, you know, in the end, if you only win two games away from home, I think it's going to be tough for the committee to put you in. So I was kind of 50-50 going into the day. I was, as an alum, I was optimistic, but I also was realistic in the sense that, you know, their resume was kind of tough. So hopefully next year they can get back in there.
Let's talk about the number one seed playing in Salt Lake City, where you'll be working, Gonzaga. Now, I've seen this movie before. Team wins 30-something games, comes in, doesn't make it out of the weekend. Do you expect to see Gonzaga playing in the second weekend?
I do. You know, I've had them now three of the last 4 years in the tournament. Mark Few is not only one of the nicest guys in college basketball, their head coach, but he's also one of the more top X's and O's coaches in the game, and I have a lot of respect for him and his program. I just feel like this year they've got the right mix of guards and big guys where they can do some damage. So, you know, obviously that they're going to have that target on their back. I think, you know, if you asked a lot of the other teams, they would rather play this number one seed than the other three number one seeds. But at the same time, this is a team that's got some impressive wins. they're tournament tested. I think what I've learned in doing the tournament these last few years, and this is my fourth, is that experience really does play a key factor in the NCAA tournament. You can have all the talent in the world and have freshmen and sophomores, and I think that you're going to find yourself in a tough spot. So the fact that Gonzaga has these veteran guys that have been through this before, I really feel like gives them an advantage, and I would expect to see them advancing past the first weekend.
Who do you like to win the whole thing? Have you decided yet?
You know, I've been high on Kansas a lot this year. Frank Mason is just one of the best players in the country. You know, they had that stumble in the Big 12 tournament. I think maybe it'll help them recover that they've had a few extra days now. They don't have to go through the rigors of the Big 12 tournament. But I really do feel it's wide open. I know people kind of say that every year, but I've seen Villanova in person a couple times this year. They're excellent. UCLA is very impressive to me. I had Arizona last weekend, and I'll have them again in the NCAA tournament. I could see them making a run. So I really feel there's 10 to 12 teams that have a realistic chance of winning the national championship, and I think that Kansas is certainly one that's caught my eye the most throughout the year.
So we've seen every manner of upset, and in recent years, a lot more twos going down to 15s relatively. Never had a 16 beat a one. What happens if South Dakota State is up big on Gonzaga in your game?
Well, then you can throw out all that pacing stuff I said about the first game out the window. that would be historic, no doubt about it. I don't know how I would control it. Plus, South Dakota State, I mean, what a nickname. I mean, the Jackrabbits. I mean, that is one that I am very excited to say many times. No, it's never happened, and I feel like one of these days it will. I remember when UAlbany almost did it to UConn several years ago. That was one of the biggest memories I had of a 116 game. So who knows? You never know when it's coming, but we'll be prepared, and I'm sure I'll bring extra throat lozenges just in case it does happen.
What's the number one fear or the number one thing you're most nervous about going into these games?
You know, I don't really get nervous for the games anymore. Maybe a few years ago I would, but I think my biggest fear really is just my health. This is the one week of the year I cannot get sick. I cannot lose my voice. I need to get sleep, even though I have a ton of work to do. So when the game starts, I know I'll be fine. It's really just getting to the game, being prepared, and most importantly, being healthy and feeling good going into that long day on Thursday.
We've been speaking with Andrew Catalan, who will be calling NCAA tournament games in Salt Lake City this week. Andrew, safe travels. Thank you so much for taking out this time during a very busy week to talk to us. I appreciate it.
Ian, keep up the great work. It's great to talk with you, and we'll do it again soon.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.